And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Truth Denied Talk Radio. I am your host, Roxy Lopez. And today is, June 7th. I believe the year is still 2013. And it is Friday. And so all of you who are tuning in, maybe on your way home from work, or maybe you're already home, the kids already had a shower and a bath, and you're having some little time. This is going to be a wonderful show. It is one to absorb. I know I got a lot of emails from you about Tuesday's show, how inspiring the guest was. Well, my guest this evening is equally inspiring. And, kick your feet up and get some real good stuff from the show tonight for your weekend. My guest this evening is a lovely woman, and I know a lot of you have been writing me and you can't wait for her. Her name is Mickey Jacobs, and Mickey is a psychic medium and a spiritual teacher, and with the wisdom she collects from her archangels and spirit guides, combined with her life experience, Mickey gives her a unique perspective on the events that are currently shaping our world. Mickey's mission is twofold. One, as a spiritual teacher, Mickey thrives on spreading spirituality on our planet by helping people with their spiritual knowledge and personal spiritual growth. And number two, she uses her gifts as a psychic medium to connect to people in the spirit world. So to complement her lectures and radio shows, Mickey has produced two audio files called We Are Never Alone, and one is a spoken word recording in which Mickey teaches about human beings. She refers to something as a team, and we're going to talk about that this evening, and she calls it the team of archangels and guardian angels and spirit guides, etc. And the second is an introduction to guided meditation to help people strengthen their connection to spirit. Both are available at iTunes, Amazon, and roughly 60 other distribution outlets. Mickey's very world-renowned. Mickey's currently on the We Are Never Alone World Tour, where she presents her lectures, workshops, and group readings designed to teach people about and connect them to their so-called team spirit. And so the next workshops and readings will be in Santa Barbara, Palm Springs, Fort Collins, and Tel Aviv, of all places. She is connected to us at thetruthdenied.com. All the information is there, linked up. So go ahead and check it out. And, of course, it is probably placed into the chat room. Speaking of chat room, good evening, chat room, and thank you for joining us. You guys might want to tune in if you have any questions for Mickey this evening. Please do not hesitate to post them, and we will get them to Mickey during our live show this evening. I'm so excited. It's a wonderful to have you, Mickey Jacobs. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Roxy. What a lovely introduction. I appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Mickey, I think that before we get, dive into the subject, what is exactly a psychic medium, just to clarify?
Yes. Psychic refer more getting the spirit world advice and guidance as to the person's life, whether it is finance or married. Usually we get that as a psychic. I will get that information from the person's spirit guide, which we'll get into in a little bit later. A medium refer to a person that is able to connect to departed loved one in the spirit. So a person that is a psychic and a medium is a kind of get both worlds, meaning if person come to me, I can give them an overall map, as I like to call it, of the life, of the spouse, of the kids, of the, of work and finance and all that, as well as whoever come from the spirit world, whether it is a deceased family or friends. So that's really the difference between the two. Either way, of course, the source is the fantastic spirit world where we get all the information. Roxy?
Roxy, hello? Are you there?
Ooh.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Okay, I guess I'm back. Oh, my goodness. That happens from time to time. Don't worry about it, Mickey. Mickey, thank you for your explanation. You've got an interesting story as well, as to how you discovered your own, you know, how you became a medium, a psychic medium. Can you share it with us?
Certainly. You know, my story is a little bit different. Because usually when you hear about people that do the work I do, psychic or medium, they discover it very early in their life, even when they were young. I have a lot of colleagues that are psychic mediums, and they kind of knew when their grandparents crossed over and the phone happened to ring and they saw spirits around their crib, and then later on when they were 6 or 7, and none of this happened to me. I had a very unusual upbringing in a way that it was as far from spirituality as you can imagine. I was born and raised in Israel to a quite Orthodox Jewish family. So spirituality was not really something that was in the household. I also served in the Israeli army for 3 years. I was a shooting instructor.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, I like to say that to people, Roxy, whether it is an interview or my event, I like to tell my story as to how I got to my spiritual work. And the reason for that, and I hope your listeners would take that to heart, because you never know where you're going to get in life. Which why I emphasizing that where I grew up, I was fighting in a war, you know, in those 3 years in the Israeli army. And of course, now I'm a spiritual teacher teaching that you certainly cannot get peace with war. So my path started when I was early 30, maybe 31 or 32. I own a business for 18 years in Long Beach, California, a really big glass company where we started doing a car glass and then went to hotels and apartments and a glazing company. And again, I was still keeping the traditional heritage of my Judaism here, you know, 3,000 miles away from my native country. And then came a point where religion did not quite answer a question for me. I came to the United States after the army, settled in Southern California, and had, of course, friends that are Christian and Catholic and Muslims. And I did not understand, or rather it bothered me, as to why Jewish call themselves the chosen people. And I just, religion did not quite and give me answers. So I dived into spirituality, and I started learning about the spirit world. God is energy, of course, growing up to a religion orthodox parents. I was fearful of God. I thought that God is a man with a beard and a cane, that if I am not going to follow certain rules, I will be punished, or worse, my family will be punished. So when I start diving into spirituality and learn, of course, that God is a magnificent force of energy that is within everything and everyone, I open myself into spiritual knowledge. I, you know, read books and I start to meditate. And that's when I start channeling first the Archangel Michael. And over the years, I have gathered over 200 messages from him, which if you wish, we can talk about him a little more in detail later on. But he's very forthcoming to human being with information. And as the years progress, my spirit guide introduced themselves to me, as well as the guardian angel, which way where my concept of the team start to come into my teaching. And I continue to run my business, which is another thing I would like your listening to pay attention to, that while I was running my business, I fed, energetically speaking, the idea, the intuitive idea that perhaps I can be a medium, perhaps I can help spread spirituality. So the point of that, the lesson of what it is that I'm teaching, that you have something that you want to do or something that you're passionate about, you do not have to drop all your other things or your 9-to-5 job that provide you with money and necessarily have that dream of yours, that goal to be a full-time job, because for many years I had both. I continue to run my business in Long Beach while I start doing, I'm a Reiki master, so I give healing to animals, which I love very much, and human beings, and then start giving readings to family and friends because they were kind of safer than someone that I did not know. And now that I look back at those years, I can clearly see how beautifully things fell into places for me. Because eventually my business closed its doors, or fail, as I like to call it, but that was a divine intervention, because obviously I was meant to do the work I do now, full-time job. And as the years progressed, my business gathered more and more people, and of course, as you mentioned in your introduction, now I go around the world and teaching the concept of the magnificent team that we have in the spirit world, and try to tell people that indeed there is a continuation of the soul after death. As a matter of fact, I don't like to use the word death. I use the word crossing over or going home. But it's nice to know that if you have something you're passionate about, all you need to do is, of course, give it intention and energy, and it will happen. Not overnight, of course, that's not the way things go on planet Earth, but indeed you can make reality everything you put yourself into.
Sure. You know, I have a question from the chat room real quick that when you were talking about, you know, growing up, and they wanted to know what was your interaction with fellow children when you were small?
With which, Roxy?
Well, when you were growing up,
yes.
What was your interaction, your relationship to other children?
You know, I did nothing of spiritual was in my life, nothing. So the you know, my friends, whether I was young or older, were just, you know, all about Judaism, all about the holidays and the rules. And it's important to me to mention here, Roxy, and to your listeners, that of course I do not bash religion. This is something that is very important to us human beings. I am very proud of my heritage as a Jewish woman, certainly as an Israeli woman, but religion has its own rules and regulations that sometimes have nothing to do with the spiritual truth. So we have to take the good and leave the bad, if you will. But as to what I had interaction with other kids, and you know, around Judaism, around holidays, there was nothing of spiritual. This is the last thing I would ever thought I will do when I was younger. I really, up until I was, you know, in my late 20s, you know, like in the early 30s. So it was just all about Judaism and the culture and the holidays and such. I hope that answered the question.
Oh, yes, indeed it does. Absolutely, and I can appreciate what you just said, because it really is about taking the good, using the good, the thread of everything that does make sense, and leaving behind what does not work.
Correct. Cool.
And that's just, I think that's very wise. You know, to interject here, I noticed that a lot of individuals are going through a particularly, I call it a discerning time, that they're going through this sort of manifestation of themselves. Like they don't know who they want to be, but they kind of already identified what they don't want to be, what they're not comfortable with, but yet at the same time they're afraid. They're afraid of getting hurt by the world. They're afraid to really explore being anything and everything you want to be. You described it so well, as you said, you know, you had the glass business and then you began to, your search began with something that was missing from your life.
Yes. You know, the last 2 years, I have never seen so many lost human beings. You know, it's a very, very harsh planet. Our beautiful planet at the moment is very harsh. Unfortunately, human beings in general, of course, are led by the ego, by negativity. All you need to do is open the television. You do not need a radio interview with a psychic to know that. It's very, very sad. We are heading to no good. So people that are not as spiritually aware, or people that are not willing to, able to, want to do the immense work that indeed it takes to become a spiritual human being, to align yourself from the soul. That's why I was saying at the beginning, it took a lot of work and a lot of dedication. I taught myself the mediumship. I sharpened my own sixth sense, if you will. And if I did it, anyone can do it. But it needs a lot of work. And because planet Earth is harsh at the moment, the energy that surrounds our globe is very dense, it's very gray in color, so everything is harder, Roxy. So it's easy to not follow up on what we like. It's easy to just do jobs for money. It's easy to suck into the negativity. So if that kind of, I'm trying to, I hope that answers what you said. So the point is that nowadays you need to lift it up a notch. We need to even work harder, which is in one way difficult. The other aspect, the soul that come to planet Earth to grow through challenges. At the moment, 2013 on planet Earth is an opportunity for an accelerated growth as far as our soul is concerned, as far as the personality, us, human beings. It's tough in here.
Yes, and I love that you said the acceleration, because I definitely feel that as well. You know, you mentioned, you know, the years of work, or the work that you have done on yourself to reach out, to become who you are today. And I agree, you know, same here. You know, I was having a discussion from somebody from the UK right before the show today who is going through this very thing that we're discussing, and then decided, what synchronicity, to tune into the show tonight. So I hope he is listening to us this evening. I'll say that you're correct. And then at the same time, some people on the planet that are willing to sort of drop whatever, you know, the old belief, whatever you want to call it, Mickey, they're growing quickly. Do you notice?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Roxy, either way, we're growing.
Yeah, right. I know, that's what I told my friend. I said, you can't stop it.
You know, our souls are super, super wise. We are God creation, His children, if you will, spark of His energy. A soul would not plan an incarnation on planet Earth without getting something out of it. So whether the person, I mean, we are selfish in a way, not in an ego way, of course, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
So whether it is the personality, do it in a quick way or a harder way, which a lot of personalities now, meaning human beings, do it, either way, the soul grows.
I think that's part of the pain that individuals go through, is when they refuse to grow. And I think that causes the pain, because now it's agitation on something that is really so natural to do.
Very natural to do, which why I like to repeat numerous times that if I did it, anyone can do it. We all have the higher self. meaning the energy of the soul within the physical body. So we just need to be awakened, whether it is our memory awakened from the spiritual amnesia, as I like to call it, when we enter the incarnation, planet Earth, a new body, all the memories wiped up. We do not remember that this is indeed not our home. We have the fantastic home of the spirit world. We are multidimensional, immortal beings. There is indeed a force that we call God. So all that we forgot, and why is it? In order for us to rediscover it, it is part of the growth. So some people, it's easier or come in different level on their journey. I have people that come to me at the age of 70 that discover that already. Or I have people come to me at the age of 80 and are still clueless.
Right. Right. And do you think that you said it earlier, Mickey, and we're going to take a break here very shortly. So when we do get back, we can talk about we are never alone and the concept of the team and such. But do you think that people are purposely choosing to distract themselves and purposely going to sleep because it's all too much?
Of course, it's easier, the ego, the personality. Ego means different things to different people, which why I always mention the negative part of the mind is lazy. Spiritually speaking, we are a lazy species. We don't want to do the work. Who want to get up and meditate? I do, because I know the benefit. I know that my work is better. I connect to my team, to the universe, align myself with my soul. But most people, which why I started a few minutes ago saying that planet Earth is very harsh at the moment. People are worried about feeding their kids. The last thing they want to think is about spiritual growth. Having said that, it's kind of a destructive cycle, because if you break free of the cycle of spiritual laziness and do the work, you can indeed create heaven on earth.
Right. Right. Well, you can manifest it. And so I think that that's what you're saying. You know, this is becoming very apparent that we're manifesting things very quickly. I think that we have to be careful what we are manifesting, what we want to see.
Absolutely. We get what we project. If we project negativity, that will precisely what coming back. There is no God that give one and not the other. He loves us all conditionally. So when people come to me and I review their life and their life is chaotic and negative, then I try to help their spiritual awareness so they will attract that same energy. Absolutely, we manifest what we project, which that's why I teach people, be kind, be decent, be spiritual.
Right, and you nailed it, Mickey. You know, the world's a harsh environment, and it's full of people who really are, a lot of liars, a lot of, you know, there's a big breed of individuals out there who are crooks and cons and whatever. But, you know, when you look at the big picture, which is what you see, welcome back. I do see a couple of other questions, but just to let you know, chat room, Paula, we'll get to your question a little bit later in the show, just so that you know, I do see your question. The producer gave it to us. So, Mickey, let's talk about this. We are never alone. I think a lot of people feel lonely and alone.
Yes.
So, why? Well, how do we plug in? To show us the way, Mickey.
Oh, which why I came with the title "We Are Never Alone." You know, I was looking for some fancy name where I'm thinking that's where they match my simple English.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, that's kind of, you know, the work I do, of course, deal with a lot of grief, a lot of parents that lose children, people lose home now and jobs, as we discuss how harsh it is, the planet. And they come in here and they feel alone, and a lot of them are, frankly, ready to bail out. But what I see is human beings come here with an entourage of spirits around them, and my great passion is to teach that we are so, so immensely loved, Roxy, so immensely love. And you know, just if I may just touch real quick before the commercial, is that the work I do allow me to see the within the human being, the underneath the seemingly different bodies and life challenges and consequences and circumstances that of course were chosen by the soul, is we are all one. And this is not a cliche phrase. We are all one, the same essence of the energy. So the point is that even the people that do bad, which I know that perhaps some of the listeners would have a hard time accepting the concept, even the bad people, the mean people, within them there is that beautiful soul, and they too are not alone. So we have that beautiful group of spirit. And the lovely thing about the concept of the team is that we each have our own separate group of spirits that help us from the moment we incarnate into planet Earth until the moment we go home, and they guide and protect us and watch over us, and they each have their own purpose in our life. So it's a wonderful concept, and my job, if you will, or purpose, is to teach people, and don't be oblivious to their guidance, their sign, work on your spiritual awareness, so you can benefit from that, so you can apply that to your life. But we really are truly very, very loved.
That's wonderful, and of course, I'm going to ask you as well, that, of course, you know, we are all loved and we're surrounded and we're not alone, etc. And what would we say to those who have had some very bad things happen to them? How do we explain, how do we teach that this bad thing that happened, let's say someone who was raped or, you know, a car accident where they lost their family. How do we explain this? Why didn't our angels, why didn't our guides help us or stop this from happening?
Yes. First, before I answer that, it is important to keep an open mind, whether it is Nikki Jacobs' spiritual teaching or any other spiritual teaching. If you, while you're listening, if you allow your mind to completely discount anything that of a spiritual concept, no, that can be, there is no way, because the mind would tend to do that, the mind kind of listen to the five senses. It's primitive. It doesn't know of miracles, energy, the spirit world. So in order to get into those more complex concepts, I would like to ask you, as well of the listeners, to of course keep an open mind. But any and every premature death, whether it is an illness, whether it is an accident, whether it is on the surface to us look like, oh my God, I can't believe how unlucky the person was, or why is it happening? There is always, Roxy, the perspective of the soul. And there is always, as far as our soul is concerned, growth. So illness, for example, let's take that as an example, it's a really, really common way for our soul to grow on planet Earth. I see people that they come to me and they're perfectly healthy. And a year later, they come to me and they're gravely ill. And I look at that person and they are completely different, Roxy. Their priority change, they become softer, perhaps more compassionate. So it's very easy to, when you open yourself to the concept that illnesses most time are pre-designed by our soul prior to entering planet Earth. Having said that, as we spoke earlier, this is a harsh planet, a risky planet, as I like to call it, and we can indeed, by bad choices, cause an illness to ourselves as well. But as I mentioned earlier, either way, the soul will grow. As for murder or rape, which I channel a lot of spirits that come through in reading, sometimes it's karma. karma is not just, karma is not just a word, Roxy. Karma is a way in which the soul has to balance its energy in order to continue to grow. For example, if a person kills a person, karma means there is no God that would punish that person or the murderer. God created a programs, as I like to call them, such as incarnation, such as karma, and then his unconditional love observes his creation. Karma means that when a person kills someone, you can apply my example to everything. It doesn't have to be only killing, although that's the ultimate, obviously, negative action. If someone kills someone, then the personality tainted the old field of the soul. So that energy gonna have to be balanced in order for the soul to continue to grow. So the next incarnation or the same incarnation, that human being would have to switch places with the same level of energy of the act. So I did indeed had a 12 years old little girl from San Diego that was murdered and killed and raped, and the life before she was the murderer.
So
to us, Roxy, which I understand people are, especially if you're not perhaps as spiritual aware, it's unheard of, but it is indeed the spiritual truth. So what is that you're supposed to do with that information? Is believe that there is something called karma that belongs to the creator programs, meaning nobody ever is not going to pay for their action, not because God would punish them, because technically the soul will have to adjust its energy. Also, it's also supposed to help with grief. If you watch television and you see awful stories, the more spiritual you are, the more able you are to rely on those spiritual concepts, the less judgmental you're going to be, and the more understandable you'll be able to be.
Indeed. And thank you for that, Mickey, because it's such a great validation and reminder for a lot of us. I think we have, you mentioned earlier, spiritual amnesia. And I think that sometimes some of us who are very awake or aware, we have temporary spiritual amnesia some days, you know, when you're having a rough day and you all of a sudden you just forget everything you know, and you start acting like whatever. Mickey, what do you do when you're up against something, just you personally, that you're up against a wall with something and it's making you angry? What do you do?
I rely on the spiritual concept that it's all for growth. When you are spiritual aware, when you are able to see it, look at your life as well as the lives of others and understand there is a growth beneath it, understand that even evil acts have their own reason, spiritual reason, then you are able, I am able now after years of work, of course, to detach myself from planet Earth challenges. The challenges are still there. I have a lot of people, Roxy, they say, wow, Mickey, they probably tell you what to do and what's coming up. And I said, there are no shortcuts. There's no, of course I continue to have challenges. If I was done with my journey, my soul would not be here for one more split second trapped in the physical body. So the fact that I'm still here, there is still growth to need to be done. So, but indeed rely on spiritual concepts such as the karma, such as understanding that, you know, I look at the challenge, whether it is in the physical, mental body, externally, internally, I always try to say what it is the soul would like me to learn in order to add to my growth, my evolution, my awareness. And it's tremendously helped because you're not as invested on the actual challenge itself. You're somewhat detached.
Right. And I love that you said that detach. from the outcome or the earthly, you know, earth and so forth. I mean, obviously that's a way to even get a better perception of what's happening as well when we detach. That was another conversation I had today as well. So you're hitting every nail on the head, Mickey. You really, really are. It's just wonderful. You're very welcome. Concept of the team. What's the team made out of? Who are these angels and spirits and guides? Who are they? Are they living on other planets? Where do they live? How did we meet them? How are there millions and millions of them? Or how did you find them? How did you what happened when you met your first spirit on the other side?
First, I thought it was only the Archangel Michael, of course, because for the first couple of years, like I said, I channel about planet Earth and life after that, and the spirit world and aliens and everything and anything in between. So, and then once the spirit guide introduced themselves to me, and quickly after the guardian angel, that is when I start channel, am I the only one that has spirit guide and guardian angel and a sign archangel, which I will explain why I call the archangel and a sign archangel. So the team members, as I like to call them, we all have a team. It is very important to understand, because people come to me and they're super hard on themselves and they say, I'm a bad human being. There is no possibly way I have a team. Or my ex is a terrible human being. There is no possibly the way he or she have a team. We all have a team because we all are soul beings. The members of the team are all the same to each one of us, meaning we all have a spirit guide, a guardian angel, and a sign archangel, and sometimes, not commonly, but sometimes, a grandparent would be a part of the permanent team. Usually most of us have a one main spirit guide, one trainee. It's funny because I don't know the reason I call it trainee, because there is a one main guide, one guardian angel, one assigned archangel, and as I say, sometimes grandparents. Sometimes people say, why some people have one and some have two? And it has to do with the difficulty of the incarnation, what it is we chose to achieve here. If the soul came to a fragile body, for example, with a lot of prone weaknesses to illnesses, jobs or personality like a daredevil. Me, for example, I had a one spirit guide, and when I start to work with people, because it's a lot of work with energy, then I had another guardian angel and an extra spirit guide. But usually we have one of each, a spirit guide, guardian angel, archangel. They never, ever, ever leave us. Never. It's funny that some people, Roxy, they say, what about when we take a shower or make love? They do not care. That is not what they care about. They never leave us. They're always with us. It is always also important to remember that the team, the permanent team that never leave us, of course are not the only spirits that around us while we are on planet Earth. There are hundreds and hundreds of light being, capital L, angels and ascended masters and beautiful, wise and powerful spirit guide that come in and out our lives as needed. For example, Mickey at the age of 20 certainly needed different type of guidance, protection, when is Nikki of the age of 49. So we have other beings come in and out of our life, but the team concept refers to that group of spirit that never ever leave us and never ever change. If you want, I can get into each one of them.
Oh, it's fabulous. I would love to. I think our audience would love to as well, if you don't mind, Mickey.
No, Roxy, I just don't want to talk too much. For that's why in events I always keep notes, because I can just go on and on from now until.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're the expert here, and we're all listening.
you're the host, though. Yeah, but the spirit guides are human souls. The reason I said human souls, because angels are not human souls. They're different light beings. So spirit guides are human souls that do not need to incarnate anymore. They accumulated enough wisdom through their thousands of lifetimes. They pay back all the karma to the universe to be able to become a guide, a teacher in the spirit world. As opposed to angels that belong to the angelic kingdom that are not human. They did not incarnate into planet Earth. They did not experience life on the complexity of the physical body. Which why in readings, a spirit guide would give me the most information about the day-to-day life of the client. Like I said at the beginning, because they used to live here. So they would advise in a reading about finance and marriage and the kids and everything and anything that has to do with our life, day-to-day life. Guardian angels, which are magnificent light beings, playful and super fun. They do not give life advice. That's not their purpose in our life. Their main purpose is to make sure we do not die before our time. Remember a few minutes ago when we spoke about that accidents don't just happen, illness don't just happen. However, there are accidents, of course, on planet Earth if we are reckless and stupid, frankly. But usually when we exit planet Earth, how we exit planet Earth to the precise moment of cause, it's indeed designed by our soul. So our guardian angels that know our blueprint, meaning the detail of any given incarnation, know when the soul is supposed to exit planet Earth, whether the age of 3, 30, or 85. Their purpose is to guide us, protect us, watch over us. However, the concept of the team, we need to remember that we are not machine. We have free will, which is the way in which we grow. There are consequences to our free will. It's another program that the force God has created. So the actions are up to us. Meaning the team, no matter how magical they are, how powerful they are, they can inspire us through intuitive feeling, through signs. Obviously, if you grow spiritually, like myself, I'm able to hear them, to see them. But for most people, the team would do anything and everything in their power to keep us safe. So whatever years we have to live here, as I say, whether it's 30 or 90, we're going to allow the journey to unfold for whatever years the soul is supposed to be here. So the point of that is that important to remember that they're bound by universal law of free will. And there are certain things they cannot and will not intervene. However, guardian angel, because they watch over us so we don't die prematurely, before our pre-designed time, they are the one that watch over us. They are the one that help me with my medical intuitive, if you will. I don't like to throw too many phrases out there. But they scan the body for me. They make sure they deliver a message if there's any reckless of the person's life that might risk their life. So that's the purpose of the guardian angel. Archangels, the reason I use the phrase and assign archangel, Because spirit guide and guardian angel, we all have our own, and they never switch. I have my own spirit guides and guardian angel. Roxy, you have your own. Thomas has his own. We come in here, and they're the same spirit guides and guardian angel. Archangels, because they are higher in awareness than the guardian angels, they are able to split their energy and be with numerous millions of people at the same time. So if Archangel Michael assigned himself to me this life, he can also assign himself to many other human beings. But usually archangels in life on planet Earth, they help us with emotions. Emotions, negative emotions, of course, that the soul was unable to overcome previous lives. Emotions such as fear and anger and jealousy and envy and all those aspects of the ego, the mind, the negative mind. So archangels are tend to kind of try to help us with anything that emotion. So you see how beautifully it's divided, where the spirit guide or spirit guides help us with our day-to-day life. Guardian angel watch over us like a hawk, our well-being, our action, and archangels help us with anything that it's emotion. So it's dividedly beautiful among the team members.
Yes, it is. Now, I'm going to warn you, we've got a bunch of questions just rolling in. As you're talking, all these questions are rolling in, and we're going to come up on a break here in about 3 or 4 minutes. So I'll give you a couple of questions right in line with, you know, where you're at. I think one of the most important questions is someone says, you know, are some of our deceased relatives assigned as our spirit guides? I dream of a few of my relatives regularly as if she is watching over me.
Of course. Remember at the beginning when I said there is no death. It's a celebration when we go home, when we die, when the soul finally free of the physical body. It's homecoming celebration when we meet our spirit guide, the team, departed loved one. So the point of that, as it relates to the question, of course our loved ones are always with us. But they are not spirit guide. It's different. Yes, they're with us. And by the way, you know, for the listener, or if, I don't know if it's with you or what, but don't call it dream, call it visits.
Oh.
they like that, Roxy. So when they come to a dream,
sense.
Yes, it's actually a visit. So spirit guide is a very specific job or purpose. They are our teacher. Teacher, departed loved one just love us the same way they loved us here, million times stronger, because it's a divine love without the mind.
That's wonderful. And let's see. And welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us at the top of the second hour, our guest this evening is Mickey Jacobs, who is a psychic medium. We're having a fabulous conversation, and those of you in the chat room, I'm so impressed by all of your questions and your attention here. Mickey, you have won the listeners over.
Oh, you know, Roxy, it's such a refreshing way that you take questions like that throughout the, because that's why I said to people in event, raise your hand, ask me questions, because me as the guest and you as the host cannot possibly remember everything.
Oh, no, so, never. And yes. Speaking of, you know, before we get into how do we connect with our spirit guides, which is something you teach and lecture on, before we get into that, what do you say to people who want proof? I want proof that this exists. How do I know that this is real? Or is this just your opinion, Mickey? And what about the rest of the world? So why don't we go there for a little bit? How do you answer that question for individuals? Because I think a lot of people have that question.
Certainly. You do not judge, and you understand that you do not know where they are in their spiritual growth. We grow in a different pace on planet Earth. We are not the same spiritual awareness. Nikki, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly growing up, as you know by my upbringing and story, is different than Nikki of now, of course. So the first thing I do is see if they're willing to listen, of course, and if they are, then I say my teaching or try to teach, and then I back off in order to allow the human being to process it, to act on the teaching, to not act. We must be able to let human being just be. And I'm not just talking about spirituality. I see that in marriages or between parents and kids. Listen, spirituality doesn't mean stupid, meaning you can say your advice, you can say what you want to say, your preference, whether it is someone treat you unfairly or anything. But then you have to back off and you have to allow the other person to be. So, I mean, it would bring so much peace to your life in any way, shape, or form. But specifically to what you're saying, you know, a lot of people, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. A lot of people are nervous with readings, nervous with mediumship, nervous with the concept such as the soul design, the exit. I mean, but that's okay, Roxy. So what I do, nothing really. I offer as much as I can to give, of course, kindness. I teach and live by kindness. And then just see whether the person wants more or whether the person needs time to digest the information or whether the person is closed. It's we grow differently. It takes us different time to be able. You cannot possibly expect everyone to grow and be where you are. It's called judgmental, and it's not spiritual.
Right. Agreed. How do we connect with our spirit guides? Let's say you've got somebody who's open now. They, I'm open to the concept of having a guide, a spiritual guide, or wanting to meet my spiritual guide. And, you know, they're trying this and meditating and writing or whatever and journaling and going through all this, and they just having a problem meeting their spiritual guide. What do you do to help that person, to facilitate that person so that they can connect with their spiritual guide?
Yes. Of course, I'm going to kind of answer in a nutshell because that's, you know, it's longer. But with, of course, the help of my beloved team, what we came up with, which while I teach, because it's simple to remember, Roxy, I go by balancing mind, body, spirit, which I'm going to get into quickly on each one. The good news that, of course, they're there, they're real. Do not let your mind tell you they're not real and it's some sci-fi movie. I mean, they are there, they're willing. They want to get a hold of us more than we want to get a hold of them. They love us immensely. The not so good news, it is a lot of hard work and dedication. And there is no shortcuts, meaning a lot of people, Roxy, ask me, can you just teach me how to meditate? And can you just kind of do a shortcut and teach me how you can do to hear them and see them? Well, the thing is that you need to cover a lot of aspects in your life in order to clear up the channel, the tube, as I like to call it. The way I look at human beings, there is a channel that kind of extend upward from the crown chakra, which is the top of the head. That channel is where all the guidance come in, messages, whether it is your psychic or daily messages, intuition, guidance, everything comes through that channel. So when I look at human being, I'm able to see how clear is the channel, if it's blocked, if it's clouded. So the essence of my teaching as to preparation of to connection, as I call it, is to clear up that channel. The reason I came with the mind, body, spirit teaching, mind refers to the ego, the personality. You cannot possibly expect to connect to spirit, whether it is your departed loved one or the team, if your ego is all over the place. Now, what does that mean? Ego means that you let your negativity take over. Drama. You fight. You gossip. You judge. Every other, you angry. You want to say the last word. You want to control. You want people to be as spiritual as you are, or else they're not good. You want everyone to be your color, your race, your upbringing. That's what I mean by the ego. It must be discipline. And the way you do it, you observe it. Every moment of every minute of your life, you observe your reaction, your interaction, your internal dialogue. And every time your ego wants to do A, you do B. If you want to say the last word, don't. If you want to yell, don't. If you have a person come to you and want to gossip, you don't. And you do it every day, again and again and again, until it becomes easier. Every moment, the precise second that you decide to discipline your ego, as I like to call it, or rise above it, what you do in that decision, you clear up a blockage of that channel. You align yourself with your soul. You align yourself with the team, because you remember, Roxy, we spoke about free will. If you do nothing, there is nothing they can do other than try to protect you as much as they can. So the mind from the trio, mind, body, spirit, refer to disciplining the ego. It took me a lot of hard work to discipline my ego. Does that mean that Nikki don't have anger coming up? Or, of course it doesn't mean that. I'm a human being. I have emotion. But I do not let it entertain me too much, because I know what it does to my connection to spirit. So the moment it's come about, I realize it. I shine the light of the soul on the ego. Body, the soul, lives in the body. You cannot possibly not nurture the body, accept the body, love the body, regardless of the shape, it's the age, anything. People come to me and they're desperate because they're getting older. It's absurd. Celebrate your age, which why I say in radio in front of hundreds of people, I don't care who. I am 49 years old and proud of it, because I've been here in this harsh planet almost 50 years, which is quite an achievement. So when you do that, you appreciate the body. You have to drink and exercise, not because they want you to get to a leaner jeans, but because it's a spiritual medicine. When you exercise, you speed up the chi, the energy that gives life to the body. So you watch, you care for the body, you check yourself once a year, you know, blood work or whatnot. You try your best to nurture and hug yourself. This is the spiritual concept, not a cliche. So the body, once now you establish your mind pretty much in discipline or ego, and now your body, you're taking care of it in any way, shape or form, internally, externally, you accept it, you love it, you take care of it. Now spirit, we fail to, you look at your life from the perspective of the soul, as we touch that. You look what your challenges are there to teach you. Spirit also refers to spirituality. You cannot possibly be, call yourself spiritual and not be authentic. You cannot go to Sunday church and be not nice human being all week. It's an insult to the source. So you need to be an authentic, kind human being. You need to base your action on authenticity and kindness. We are here to spread love in that beautiful planet. So spirit, from the mind-body-spirit, refer to spirituality. You refer to, you read, you know, broaden your information, your knowledge. Buy books about angels and spirit guide and the spirit world and life after death in any way, shape, or form. So when you balance the three, more or less, as much as you can, mind-body-spirit, you clear up the channel. And then come the hard work. You meditate. Without meditation, I know a lot of people don't like the word meditation. All it means that you are you with you. And you quiet the mind. So once the channel is open and you clear up blockages from the ego, from the body, from your, you know, not being spiritual, once the tube is open, you meditate, whether it is guided meditation, whether it is music, anything and everything that works for you, which why I don't teach meditation, because it's very personal. You know, then you meditate and then you listen, which what I did. Because they're there, and they're going to talk to you. You can either use automatic writing, write the messages like I did. You can simply hear them. It's not overnight, Roxy. Nothing is overnight. It takes a lot of hard work and persistency, but you have to believe in the process.
Right, and I think there, I agree with you there, Mickey. It is a process, and I love what you said about meditation being up to the individual, what works for that individual, and the quieting of the mind. I think that's the number one complaint, as people say, you know, I sit in the lotus position, I close my eyes, I put on a little music, and then I start writing my grocery list when I'm supposed to be meditating, you know, in their mind. They can't shut off all the stuff that's going on, and I can also see clearly, Mickey, that when you do shut the mind down, at least you know, power it down a bit, more clarity. Some people, my grandfather, he didn't sit down in a lotus position and meditate or anything like that, but what he did every night was he would sit outside and he would have his cigar, would watch the sunset and the birds and his plants and his mango trees, and he would just sit and reflect on the day for about an hour alone.
Roxy, for 15 years, I do not skip meditation because I know its importance. And you can imagine the lazy aspect of the mind that want to stay in bed, cold, hot, they have a busy day. But I don't, because I believe in the now, obviously I can prove to myself the concept. So I exercise and I go out. I do not think about it. I go out and I greet and meet and hug and kiss my team and other spirits, nature angels. I talk to the roses. I mean, I don't know how weird you want me to get.
No, it's wonderful. No. I completely get it. But trust me, I do.
And I will
do, you know, because, you know, somebody did bring up, you know, as the way the world is, you know, this harsh world, whatever you want to call it. Monica had asked a little bit earlier in the chat room, she said, why all the turmoil in the world if the spiritual world exists?
Because the state of our true nature, meaning our soul, not Mickey, the personality with all the challenges, the soul is always to express more of God, be more like Him, not in an ego way. Express, be, we thrive to be part of Him, we thrive to be Him. So planet Earth is an effective school. Of course we don't have to incarnate into. I have been shown a lot of other beautiful, easier planet, oceanary planet with beautiful beings, and we do not have to come here, but the nature of our soul is forward and upward. We want to balance the karma. We want to continue to grow. We want to express express love, because we are, if we are the finger, he is the body, we are spark of God, powerful, beautiful being. So planet Earth is an effective school. We come in here. As a matter of fact, Archangel Michael, call us human souls heroic, because we know how difficult it is, and we leave our beautiful, serene home of the spirit world and enter the body, the complexity, like a prison for whatever years we have here. But we love it, the souls. We love it here. It's an accelerated growth again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can agree with that. And let's see, to try to get to another question from one of the chat room people. Vanny asked, what about people who use regressions as the old guidelines to how they need to live their lives now? If we are to discover, isn't that defeating the purpose? I guess they're saying regression would be defeating the purpose. Yeah.
Yes. You know, regression, you have to be very careful who you go to. In readings, very rarely that I will actually show a vision of the sitter or the client past lives. It's absolutely true. It will interfere. There are great, very strict rules. First of all, there are rules as to what they show me in reading. You know, a lot of people, Roxy, are nervous because they think I might know something they don't want me to know. It's all based on love and respect. And if the well-being of the sitter is in danger, then yes, I will know that. But it's for the benefits of the person, of course. It's all love and only love. So when you go to past life regression, you have to be aware of the practitioner, like in any industry, whether it is mediumship or a lawyer, of course. But they don't show that much, which is why it's sealed from us, our past lives, other than know that every life contributes to the soul growth. So be certain that, Roxy, you were a man and a woman and a black and a white and a homosexual and a bisexual, and you had kids and no kids, and over, the soul will try any form possible in order to climb up in awareness, in growth, and balance karma and overcome any weaknesses that were unable to overcome past lives. But yeah, there are strict rules, and no, we don't know about past lives other than understanding and fully accepting that past life concept is very much real, of course.
Right, and the other question in relationship to that that one of the listeners had is, why do past lives haunt some people and others forget it entirely?
It's first of all, any bad, like nightmare, I have a people that I work with that have night terror, a nightmare, and usually nightmare are not really past lives, but rather a reflection of your mental state throughout the day, because sleep is super important to us. The reason for that, in a nutshell, is once the mind finally asleep, the soul, the higher self, meaning the energy in the body, exit the body from the crown chakra, travel to the spirit world in order to recharge itself, while the guardian angel watch over the life cord and the physical body, so we can come back, of course. So there is always good dream. Once you have a good dream, whether you're flying or visits from your departed loved one or, you know, animal talking to you or anything, be certain that your soul were able to travel to the spirit world. Anything of harshness, any nightmare, any terror that usually belong to the mind, meaning there is no deep sleep, the soul was unable to exit the body, and I see a lot lot of like night terror of people that are addicted and do drugs or chaotic throughout the day. Having said that, déjà vu, for example, is indeed the sole memory of past lives because we still sponge, we energy beam. So you know sometimes, Roxy, you might meet someone you like, I kind of know that person.
Right.
Or you've been in a place. Kind of, you know. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, so yes, there are memory of past lives, but, you know, we're very protected. Unless we cause it with our life and chaotic in our daily life, it's all good.
Right, right. Well, and you know, I have read there's some exceptions to the rule. Certain people that have come to the planet who actually know where they came from and had complete recall and know exactly what they're doing here right now, but it's very far and few between. I mean, it's like,
right.
I'm saying it's not the norm. And then as far as the deja vu, I'm glad you brought up deja vu. Mm-hmm. It also, not just with people, but sometimes, you know, you can go to a place for the first time, you're traveling and you get there and you say, wow, what a trip. I feel like I've been here before, you know, right? And
yes.
So there's that too. And but you don't get the whole story. You get a little blip.
You're not meant to get the whole story.
Right.
I know what, yes.
I can understand that. I can see that. And then as far as the most important in the journey that I hear that you talk about is that to basically to trust the process.
Absolutely, Roxy. That's why before I answer the question about the karma, when we got into a little more detailed concept, you know, I say open, you know, discipline your mind. You don't want to think, no, doesn't make sense. I didn't grow up. You know how many years I blocked the channel or the tube because it didn't mesh well with my upbringing? That's
right.
Why my soul chose to belong to a Jewish family. So I can teach that now. Everything is
right. Governed
by, even my accent is chosen by the soul. Apparently, people try to listen to me better.
Well, it's such a, you know, it's wonderful too, because what you're talking about, and I think a lot of the listeners can relate to this as well. I was brought up also in a religion and myself, Catholicism, and for 18 years, you know, from birth, really, really, I went to a Catholic school, you know, you name it. And what's so interesting is they say that we learn the most of how we're going to operate in the world from when we're very little, yet by the time I made high school, I was saying what you were saying. I was saying, this doesn't make any sense. There's more
That's
to
right.
this. So
That's
it goes
right.
to show us that even though something was, you know, taught us over and over repeatedly through those years, those youthful years, something inside of us screams out and says, come with me for a ride because that ain't it.
Absolutely. The soul would always pull us toward our spiritual truth, our purpose. You know, when I start awaken that part of mine, I couldn't ignore it, Roxy. It's not something I could ignore. However, having said that, I had a choice. I could have continued to put energy in my business, perhaps open another one, you know, led by money, and I didn't. I made a choice. So when we talk about believing the concept, give it a try. Try the mind-body-spirit. Try to meditate. See what's, I mean, you can really create a magnificent life in here, but it's work.
Well, of course it's work. And it's like if you're going to invest in something, it might as well be this. It's kind of like my grandmother used to say about being in a good mood or versus a bad mood. She'd say, well, when you get bad news, you have two ways to handle it. You could be in a bad mood all day, or you can just choose to be in a good mood and keep moving because it already happened.
Absolutely.
So, right? And so it's the same thing, you know, it's all about the attitude and especially what you're expressing, Mickey, because you're talking about a much bigger world and a much the empowerment and the reconnection with our own soul, our own destiny, if you will, and all of the guides and the archangels and the spirit guides and all the rest of it that we otherwise won't see ever if we shut our mind off.
And what a waste.
What a waste. Totally. Talk about missing the boat. You know, I get it. Well, believe me.
What a waste. You know, like drama, you know, you be careful of drama of your life, in your life. Be careful of draining friends. Watch, guard your own field. Make sure you clear it up. I mean,
and again, we're speaking with psychic medium Mickey Jacobs. I just want to remind you that Mickey has a weekly YouTube post on all kinds of topics. Her YouTube link is on the Truth Denies schedule page, as well as her website, which of course is Mickey, spelled M-I-K-I, Jacobs, jacobs.com. That's www.mickeyjacobs.com. And of course, we have the email as well and an office phone number if you need to set up an appointment or schedule something for lectures or workshops or whatever. So again, that's linked up on the truthdenied.com on the schedule page. Mickey, where do aliens fit into all of this mix?
I laugh because I kind of knew you were going to ask that. Not because I'm a psychic, just I thought you probably will. Alien are just other beings that experience evolution or growth, other meaning other than human souls and other planets. So are they real? Of course they're real. Also the UFO that we see are real. They happen just to cross the veil as you know, my team like to call it, which why sometimes we capture them. And a lot of people are fearful, is alien going to invade us? And my answer to that, it is no, at least not yet, meaning we are super protected by the archangel that surrounded our planet, and there is great divided between all the beings, but alien just other beings, and there are many numerous ones that just grow and you know, contribute to their own evolution in some other galaxies.
You know, just out of curiosity, I don't know if you know, but do aliens and ETs, do they have their guides as well, or is this just planet Earth?
It's unique to planet Earth because our soul is unable to express itself. It's governed by the five senses. It's governed by the physical body. So we need that super help, which always I tell people, it showed the great immense love that God has for us human souls, that we come here and we have the team. As for the aliens, that's a good question for my morning meditation tomorrow, Roxy.
Oh, cool.
<They're Great. team.
laughs> I look forward to hearing what that answer is. You know, and there is somebody who has posted right from the very beginning of the show, and I'm not going to be taking any callers this show because we've had the opportunity to have so many people in the chat room asking questions. But this one is for you. It's a psychic question. Paula is in the chat room, and she had the very first question up, and she said, "Mickey, is there anything I can do for my father-in-law who is dying and is terrified of dying?"
Yes. And remember when we talk about that everyone grow in a different pace, specifically someone that is terrified of dying, you don't want to overwhelm with spirituality in general. You don't want to shove it down someone's throat if they're not up to that. You can mention, you know, angels are very soothing beings, so you can talk about that indeed they're going to cross over to beautiful beings with wings. I found that help over the years when I go to hospitals myself. People that don't believe, I talk about angels and I can see their soothing face. And specifically, if you know of that person, lost loved one themselves, whether it is a spouse or their own parents, obviously keep it in mind if the relationship was strong and if so you can say that they will welcome them. But you know, Paula, do it light. light. Spirituality has great simplicity to it, as opposed to maybe rigid of religion. You're going to cross over and here come Jesus and what, you know. So it's light. So you want to try to kind of poke and see if he's open for that. And use the word love. Whisper to his ear the word love. Love is a power, it's an energy, it's a dynamic, it's not just word, which why I tell people in general, including to your father-in-law, of course, spread the word love. Do not say love ya, but say I love you. It's okay to say that. It's different than just say me too. So say I love you, not only to intimate lover or close family member, spread the word love, specifically someone that is dying. Because the word itself has a collective positive from God. So the word itself would lift up his spirit, would help him with the transition. So I see it's a magical word.
It's very important what you just said. Mickey, why do, and I know you probably meet a lot of them, of these types, why do people have problems? I'm an I love you person as well. I love people. I let them know it. And I think it's very powerful. Why do people have a hard time saying those three words, I love you? Why do they say me too or thanks or okay or right back at you? Why do they have a hard time saying back to us, I love you too?
And it in general answer, it's related to the harshness of planet Earth. Remember we spoke about that energy, its law of attraction, meaning negative attracts negative. So the more you are guarded or afraid of rejection or don't be vulnerable, the more you do that, the more you're going to do that even more. But when you start open yourself to be, which why I use the phrase, you will be okay if you say, I love you. I specifically guard my words in an interview. So you will be okay. You're not going to, not, you know, the ego will be fine. So say I love you, you'll start to soften up. It is. You'll soften up. So it will be awkward at the beginning because the ego is nasty, super destructive, Roxy. I mean, the ego is the one that led human beings to cut their life short, that, you know. So say I love you. It's good for you.
Yeah, right. I remember my mother used to say, when I finally moved out of the house, you know, I talked to her on the phone and I'd say, when I was going to say goodbye, and I'd say, okay, bye, Mom, I love you. And she'd say, oh, just like that. And it's so funny. It took years, you know, and finally I said to her one day, why can't you say I love you back? And she said, I wasn't taught to do that. And I was like, oh. I was like, right? I wasn't taught. And then one day, my mom, now she never said it first, but one day she actually said, I love you back.
Oh.
That was huge because I didn't care. I just kept saying, well, I love you. And she'd do that. You know,
that belongs to the discipline of the ego. It will get better over time. It will get softer and then you will attract more energies, I'm talking about spirit, beside your team that would help you because it's free will. So if you hang up the phone today after our interview and decide, I'm going to spread the word love, they can hear us. Spirit can hear us. So you invoke more beautiful light beings.
Of course. I mean, it's a very honest way to do things. And, you know, I've had a lot of people, you've met a lot of people as well, Mickey, no doubt. And, you know, some people, they just have it, you know, like I'll meet somebody at at the market, you know, getting goods in Hawaii, like when we go to the, get produce, right, in the farmer's market. And sometimes we were appreciating the food, right? Oh, thank you so much for the avocado and the mango. They look so beautiful, you know, to the grower. And then we say, I love you, you know, and they say, I love you too, you know, like, because it's so sweet, because their fruit even shows how much love they put into their growth and what they do. And then we say, I love you. And they say, I love you too. And before you know it, we're all hugging. And then, you know, a couple booths down, people are like, what's going on over there?
It's beautiful.
And, you know,
I love that.
It's the way it is, because food is love, you know.
Thank you.
Yes,
say,
of
thank
course.
You. I say so much thank you. People are afraid.
Right. Well, and I think that you said something else as well. Vulnerability. I was just having that conversation with somebody today that I prefer to be vulnerable. What do you say about being vulnerable?
Wow, that showed me actually your great spiritual awareness. Because someone that not as aware, not as aiming to discipline your ego, whether you now know it to, you know, word by word, meaning the concept, or whether you did it subconsciously. Of course you want to be vulnerable. It's the same thing I said when I spoke about mind, body, spirit. The ego want to do A, you do B. Sure, if you feel you want to be vulnerable, get, you know, toughen up. Help your soul to grow. If you don't want to say I love you, say it.
Right.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. I think there is a crisscross, you know what I mean, inside of people. Like they think that if I am vulnerable, then it means I'm weak. Or if I say I love you, then it makes me vulnerable, which makes me weak. You know, and so I think that, you know, I love that you said toughen up your spirit, because that is the true empowerment. When you become you, when you shed the lie, the ego, because really it's a prison. You're no longer in a prison. And you get to be whoever you want to be, wherever you go.
Roxy, you know, when I align myself with the soul, it's such a beautiful feeling, because the soul is fearless. It's look at planet Earth with a smile. I'm going to see what I can learn from that challenge, whatever it is. It's neutral. It's beautiful. So, of course, that's the power. Of course, the power is to say what it is you're vulnerable. Be it, you know. You're not going to die. You'll be fine. You just do it.
Right. I love that you said the soul is fearless, because it's the truth.
Sure.
It's the truth. Yeah, and when you say just be it, you know, be vulnerable. Don't you think that being vulnerable is feeling ourself?
Of course, it's the ultimate face of the personality, the mind, the being human being. But we are here to rise above it. So do it. The reason I keep giving the example of saying the last word, because you know how we all want to say the last word and want our opinion to be heard. You know, you can say your word, you can say what you want to say, but it's so much powerful when you say what you have to say and you back off, whether the other human being agree with you, don't agree with you. I mean, that you just, it's spiritual, it's authentic, it's real power.
Yes. And are we also, you know, we've talked about the guides and the ethereal beings and guardian angels and light beings and archangels, assigned angels, all of that. As far as you and I being human beings on this planet, do we have also, in your opinion, once we become knowledgeable of our connection to self, soul, and all the rest, and the celestial bodies, and et cetera, do you think it's our duty to share that with the next person?
Of course, Roxy. That's why I'm so passionate about my work. But you know, you must practice what you preach. This is by my number one importance as a spiritual teacher in my work. Absolutely, if I'm being not authentic, I might as well sell real estate. So it's very important to spread it up, of course, but you have to keep in mind to discipline your ego while you spread it out. You don't want to be upset and get hurt if others don't listen to you, don't agree with you, even if they're not as nice, as I said earlier. Sometimes, rarely so, sometimes I'm not everyone's cup of tea. My work scares people. But the moment they realize, because I allow my soul to react to them and not my ego by saying, that is okay, you can think about it, you can dig in a little bit, and I get the most fantastic emails from the most skeptic people. So the point is that, yes, you need to spread it around. Sure, that's part of the task for us being here. Spread it out. Let your soul govern your life. Spread it out, sure. But keep in mind to discipline your own ego while you're doing that. Which why sometimes we see spiritual teachers that allow their ego to take over. So money come in and they lost the touch. It's very sad to me, which why I am so picky about practicing what I preach. If I tell people to meditate and I stay in bed, it's hard for me to stay in bed because we have about a million animals here. but you need to practice what you preach. If you decide to be spiritual, you call yourself spiritual, you must repeat, must be authentic.
Absolutely. And wouldn't you agree that you can't teach what you don't know?
Of course. Of course.
I think that's part of it right there, you know.
Of course.
If you learn today how to say the word I love you, then that's one thing that you can teach other people to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't have to be a massive guru, or, you know, you can just teach what you know. Monica in the chat room had mentioned a little earlier in the show that she said Roxy, you just said trust the process, which you and I both did, but you are always told you can't trust people or even what you can see and hear sometimes. So I think I think Monica is asking, how do I trust the process when you can't trust anybody?
Trust the process referring to the soul. Trust the process, do not refer to people. Not trusting people, that's ego against ego, like we talk about the vulnerability and the being guarded and not say I love you and just being afraid. Trust the process is understand what the soul is doing here. Understand that you observe your challenges, whether it is a loss, an illness, an accident, a fender bender. You observe, what can I learn from that? So I know it's confusing, Monica, I get that, dear, but there are two different things. So when we say trust the process, what we're saying really, trust the concept of what we're talking about. Trust the concept about law of attraction, meaning be a good human being and you're going to receive that back. About the concept of how you clear up the channel. So it's kind of two different things. I hope that I made it clearer.
Yes, thank you. I think I do know, you know, I know that my own process is about me first. So trusting me, trusting my instincts, trusting my own gut, trusting from there, then I learn to trust others. Because it's me that's making the final decision. Correct, Mickey?
It's all us. You know, according to the Archangel Michael, we can have spouse that we love very much, and we can have family, and listen, even our own kids, those are not our own, we brought them to the world. To be a parent and a child is simply a contract. That's not a cold statement. That doesn't mean that until the age of 18 you don't guard, support, protect the child, but they come in here with their own lesson, own karma most likely to balance, the soul come here to learn. So we come here alone and we live alone. It is about us, but not in a selfish way, of course, Roxy, we discussed that. But that's why meditation is important. You know, I mean, it is about us. It is about our growth. It is so absolutely, you're absolutely right that us is first, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not selfish. It's a selfless act. To put ourselves first. We do better. We're better parents, better spouses, better people to the world. So, yes, we should put ourselves first, as long as you keep in mind we're not talking from an ego way, meaning not care about anyone else, of course.
Somebody should write a book where you split the two in half, like what is the same sentence said from love and said from ego, and how it could be the same exact sentence, but yes, each one means something different. When the ego says it, it's up to something.
That's
and
right.
When it comes from love, it's coming from love, you know.
That's
it's
right.
So, and that's why I think for some it can be a difficult conversation, because they're like, wait a minute, you guys are talking about the same thing over and over again. No, we're not.
Sure, sure. And then you can go into a little bit more, you know, deeper subjects, such as we touch the illness. I mean, illness, people come to me and they say, I'm just unlucky. And it's hard if they're not open to express, because it's very easy for me to read or what I've been shown, the blueprint of a person incarnation, which where I get some of the information in a reading. But sometimes I can see that the soul is supposed to teach them certain lessons. But when you're the one that ill, it's kind of easier said than done, Roxy, you know. But that, nonetheless, my job is to transfer what I learn over the years, what I channel, and that is the spiritual truth.
Correct, correct. And, you know, Mickey, it's been such a pleasure having you on. I am so excited that you were on the show tonight. It's fabulous. You're wonderful. Where can those who listened, who might want to meet you or go to a workshop, what do you have coming up soon or during the summer?
Yes, I have actually quite private group reading that's not open for public. A lot of people like to do that. They kind of do their own, whether it is family or community. I just came back from Fort Collins, which was community of people that had the space, and then I was there. But of course, Tel Aviv, I mean, I know it's in Israel, but that's public. And New York is in a progress, and Hawaii, I just got an email that I'm going to be going there. So I'm just going to spread the team if my life depends on it.
Do you know what part of Hawaii? Because that's where I'm from.
Oh, lovely. It's, what is it, Kona or Kano?
Oh, that's where I'm from.
Oh, lovely. Oh, Roxy.
Right. Of course, I'm going to be in touch with you. You know, we're going to do a video of this show, and then, of course, an article and things like that. And then, of course, I want you to know right now, you are welcome anytime to come on the show and talk about anything that you want or feel a need to. The audience absolutely adores you, and so do I. And,
Roxy, it was such a pleasure. You are more than delightful.
You're part of the family now, Mickey.
More than delightful, Roxy. It was such an honor being here, and I greatly appreciate your listeners. What a beautiful, beautiful, helpful questions. So thank you for the listeners.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. And then again, the website for you is Mickey Jacobs, and that's MikiJacobs.com. And if anybody wants to, you know, write you or see whatever's going on in your world, or the website will probably say where you're going to be. I'm sure that Clayton updates everything and makes sure that the public knows, right, everything that you're up to.
Clayton is by far my better half. And that is a big part of my success, the force behind my success, if I will. And everything is there. If people want to follow me, meaning they'll get a notice, then you can subscribe to the email. But either way, it's a very easy to read website that I'm very proud of what he built for me. And everything is there, any upcoming event, of course, the YouTube is very helpful, because I channel all that information. It's various topics. And all you need to do is just, you know, subscribe to that, and it will give you a notice of a new one coming, and you just click and listen.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. I think people will definitely have that on the website indefinitely.
Wonderful.
Yes, of course, so that,
wonderful,
you know, people can meet you. And then, of course, I'll find out when you're going to Kona, and who, you never know. I might have to make a visit. And
how fun.
Over there.
That's wonderful, Roxy. You are wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mickey. And again, everyone, that was Mickey Jacobs. If you want to check out her website, that's at www.mickeyjacobs.com. And go ahead and sign up, subscribe, or to her YouTube channel as well, and get some good information. Chat room, I just want to thank you. You did an amazing job. And some of you who are coming back and saying thank you, you're very, very welcome. We're both, it's our pleasure to have served you. Have a wonderful week. weekend. Have a great Father's Day for all you dads out there. And kids, don't forget to give dad a